fashion in the world, in many of its most successful industrial countries, for factories not only to be places where things are made, but for factories to be colleges and high schools, and also to be places where mothers can put their children safe and secure until they get through with work. Now, these are the dreams that I have, and the dreams organized labor. Years ago, there was a great complaint in organized labor that when the government wanted an act, Republican or Democrat, didn't turn to the labor movement. They turned to lawyers and accountants and politicians and businessmen, rarely to the labor movement. And now we had Alain Bourtard, who was our ambassador to the People's Republic of China. And there are many more. That's really quality in terms of social progress and of economic progress. So, my friends, I'm not asleep, and that's my duty as your senator, not to be asleep. I'm not to wait until it hits me in the head. I'm to find it down the road, and to fight for it, and to persuade you that it's the right thing to do, even if it's unpopular at the end. And I hope, I look forward to labor's enormous leadership in this hour of great opportunity, for which I hope to join in better equipping by eliminating some of the injustices which relate to inequality in the ability to organize. And once equipped, labor has one of the greatest roles and one of the greatest opportunities this country has ever seen. And mistake it not. Just as the workers in Poland know that if they want freedom, they got to start with freedom to hold or reject a job, that is just as true of life. Real freedom is based on the ability to work privately with individual initiative and the individual ability to work or to refuse to work as you choose. And to work because it's in the public interest as well as your interest to work. I believe that the AFL-CIO, under the new and gifted leadership, which Providence has sent, has the greatest opportunity it's ever had in its history. And I hope to be around in the Senate to help all. Thank you.
Give me a chance, at least in print, to deal with all the, you know, host of charges he hurls. How can you answer that in a minute or two? You have to deal with it generically, which I've done. But tomorrow I hope to have the chance to, you know, pick up this and that in the show, but it's untrue.
Do you consider you're the only Republican who can win this seat?
I believe that. After all, there are only two in the race. And that's between D'Amato and myself. I think that I'm the only one who has any real chance. You know me a long time. You know I never predict the election. And I'm not stupid about that. Nobody's impressed about anything.
Do you have any regrets now that you haven't been tied a little more closely to the Republicans during your career?
I'll tell you why I can't have regrets. Because it would have had to be at the price of the work that I've done. And obviously I was unwilling to pay that price. It might have been better for me politically. Certainly, four elections ain't hay. But I believe in what I do, and I believe I've been of use, and I believe that it takes, in my case, that kind of hard work. After all, you know, I haven't spent my time in nightclubs and discos. I've worked hard, traveled a great deal to learn, and, you know, we are, in a sense, not in a sense, we are charged with doing everything the president does. And we don't have the staffs and, and all the means he does. But we're charged with doing everything he does.
He says that you have voted with Carter 86, 82, 84% of the time. Is that a fair appraisal?
It's not. I'll tell you why. This is a sampling of congressional quarterly. I'll just leave that aside. It happens to be some 150 of the votes in a year, which is one third. And then they guess, you know, what the president would be forward with. The reasons are these. In the first place, I'm in the same bracket with most of the senators from this area, New Jersey, Rhode Island, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. We have certain regional assessments. Secondly, I'm the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee. Half of those votes in number come out of foreign relations, confirmations of ambassadors and other officials, treaties and other international agreements represent half of those votes. I assure you, Gus, that nothing gets out of that committee that I can't support. Only one measure got out of that committee that I couldn't support, and that was the armament for Saudi Arabia. I fought that. And, that's about the size of it. And the last thing is that I'm New York. What does he want me to do? Vote against housing? Vote against revenue sharing? Vote against help to nursing schools? I fought the battle, for example, for winter heating aid for the poor. That's a little matter of $215 million for New York. Well, you know, Republican economizers can vote against it. I couldn't. I did it, matter of fact, because it was so valuable to us. So that's the difference. The difference is that what he's practically telling people is he's going to go down there and vote the ultra-conservative Republican, which is voted by about 10 of our senators. From the Carolinas, from the mountainous West, but nobody, you know, remotely resembling New York. Percy is the Chicago. He's very much like me in voting. That's the whole point. But, you know, it's an argument which, unless taken apart, sounds very good to me. And in addition, I'll tell you this, I have not, and I will not, vote against a president because he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. I'll vote you know, depending on what I think is best for our country.
Are you going to have to depend on upstate to win this primary for?
I rather believe I'm going to do quite well in New York City. And I believe I have a respectable support, even in this county, has produced the leader who produced this guy as my opponent. And I believe that I will, however, have my winning margin upstate. But I don't believe that you'll find that I will do badly anywhere in the state. Probably won't, you know, don't want to do as well as I would like in Nassau. But this fellow, you know, declared against me. That's my judgment. But you never know, and as Harry Truman says, there's only one poll. And that's the poll on election day.
You've never been challenged in a primary at all, have you?
Not in a Republican. I was challenged in a Liberal Party primary some years ago. That's amusing, too. He's accusing me of being, you know, a big liberal, and I was challenged in a Liberal Party primary.
Was that for Congress?
No, that was for the Senate.
Was it?
Yeah. Because, you know, I have as many liberals on my neck as I have conservatives.
How do you see this presidential thing shaping up now? Did Carter inspire himself in his first foray?
I think that the people don't want to re-elect Carter. And I believe, therefore, that what Governor Reagan has to do is to keep constantly before them that he is an entirely viable alternative, and that they will not be sorry that they elect him. Contrary, for what our country needs now, he's in the best position to go.
You ever think you'd see the day when you do that?
That's right. But I think, I really do. I think that this country has got to take a new direction. And the only way it's going to take a new direction is with a new leadership at the top. I don't see our people leading the two-party system. So I believe that it's strictly up to Governor Reagan.
I don't see Anderson last week.
No, I really don't. I don't see Anderson as being the fellow who's going to throw it in the House.
I will say this to you. From the looks of things here and there, in our state, there seems to be a good deal of anger.
See it as adequate to carry the state.
How do you talk to them?
Well, I think New Yorkers are independent, and I think they're very disillusioned with Carter. And as it's a Democratic state, in the presidentials anyway, it has tended to move to Anderson. But I think Governor Reagan has a good chance carry this state, and I want to help do that for the reason I've given
you. You think he hurt himself with that Vietnam thing?
Well, I think he would have if it had been further along. I think that people don't really expect the fine nuances to emerge at this stage. I will say that is a nuance. It had to be done to bring about a normalization of the People's Republic. And it is a unique plan. I was one of the two authors of Taiwan Relations, Church and Man. So I know what a juridical problem it presents. But it was a very sound solution. And it worked. There are some things like that you can't expect him to come to fully ready.
You go going back to campaign in New York tonight?
Yeah, I am. This afternoon. Tonight I'm going to work for my campaign staff.
Any worry spots upstate or other than the island?
Upstate looks good. That's all I can think of. Looks good. And I'm very hopeful.
What gives you the confidence in New York City?
Well, I'm very well known in New York City for one. New York City Republicans, I think are so used to living with me. And I think also that what I did in 75, 78 for the city, and continuously, is very well known. And I think they know I know how to deliver.
What do you make of the mayor endorsing Republicans down there right now?
And what?
What do you make of the mayor endorsing Republicans down there right now?
I mean, he's hoping for a Republican endorsement. And everything considered, he's doing pretty well.
And the marvelous medical people whom I'd consulted, and I took considerable time about it, feel that my life expectancy and the ability to function effectively in that full life expectancy more than encompass of the 6-year term of a senator. And then I gave my reason for deciding to run. For some time, I thought about it and was not at all sure that I would. But I felt with the experience and the seniority that New York had given me by electing and re-electing me 4 times to the Senate, when we faced problems as awesome as those we face today, of a very high inflation, a very sticky unemployment, and dangers of confrontation and war in other parts of the globe, I just couldn't walk away from this job.
Why have you denounced your opponent, Mr. D'Amato, for not raising the issue properly?
Well, really, I have denounced him, Gabe, because the issue was raised with a ghoulish implication that he'd like to see me dead. Now, that's a very, very terrible feeling to have in American politics, and this is quotations from the press. I don't know that he's admitted yet that he said it, but my understanding is, and I'm just reporting what I understand, that he claims he said this quote, off the record, but I read it in one of our most prominent journals, the New York Times, in his quotes, and it deeply offended me.
Now, he calls you a born-again fiscal conservative. Certainly, you've had a liberal record in the Congress, in the Senate, for many years as far as spending is concerned, and he obviously represents a constituency within your own party that is very much against that. What is the real Jacob Javits? Are you a spender? Are you a liberal? Are you now a fiscal conservative? What are you?
I'm hard-headed about money, and I believe that between government and the business community, the job can be done which needs to be done for our country to look after the lame, the sick, the halt, the blind, the young, and the old, and at the same time to have an effective defense and a highly productive society. And I've spent all my life in many ways demonstrating that. And when it comes time, as we are now, to stimulate the revitalization, reindustrialization, as it's called, of the American business system, I've had the honor to lead the Republicans in the Senate in charting that program.
But isn't it a fact that in places like Queens and Brooklyn and other places in this state, there are registered Republicans who feel alienated from you? They feel that they belong to a different party.
Frankly, I don't think there are any alien Republicans
alienated
from me. I've represented them too long and been elected much too long to deserve that. I believe that they may disagree with me on some means, but the fundamental thrust of individual opportunity and of employment in the private enterprise system is Republicanism. Started with Lincoln, and it's still true today. And I'm a true Republican.
And you think that Al D'Amato isn't?
Well, I think Al D'Amato is one of that, I think, relatively smaller band of ultra-conservatives who wants an amendment to make abortion a crime, who's still for the against the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, and who thinks that by pairing the bureaucracy, you're going to cure inflation.
So
we should pair the bureaucracy.
So summing it up, is this liberal versus conservative?
No, I don't think so. I think it's moderate versus very ultra-conservative.
Thank you, Senator Javits. Jack?
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. And in a couple of moments as we continue, we're going to say hello to Sybil Shepherd. She's here.
And still ahead, a look at the profane, earthy, and very direct world of our 35th president.
This is Alan Nicholson with the Javits Campaign. Senator Javits in New York City today called for bold and decisive action to head off what could become a decade of chronic recession. His economic package calls for an across-the-board personal income tax cut, income tax exclusions of savings interest, and a business tax incentive to encourage modernizing plants. The cut runs 55 seconds and begins on my count. 3, 2, 1.
Unless bold and decisive action is taken soon, the 1980s could become the decade of chronic recession. My program advocates prudent investment in our nation's strengths, our neighborhoods, our factories, our cities, our jobs, and our youth, all our most precious resources. The guiding premise of my program is that the country is young and vigorous and can be very successful. I call for the following. A 10% across-the-board personal income tax cut for 1981 to compensate for higher inflation and higher Social Security taxes, doubling the income tax exclusion of savings interest, a tax incentives targeted to encourage modernization of plants and equipment. Initiatives like this will curb the inflationary spiral and spur growth, productivity, and investment.
Governmental Affairs Committee, also as the senior, though not the ranking member, which deals with all government departments and what they do. And I'm also, lastly, on the Committee on Labor and Human Resources, which deals with health, education, welfare to some extent, labor, and many other subjects, including medical research, community health centers, mental health centers, just about everything that you can think of. So every person in this state has received a direct benefit from just literally the hundreds of things that I've done in the Congress. And I believe that the people of New York, having invested in me so heavily, I found it impossible to walk away from the job when no one knows better than I how perilous are the times in terms of a continuance of inflation, of high and unacceptable unemployment, of the dangers to the United States of either being blackmailed by the OPEC countries or running into some confrontation with the Soviet Union.
think one of the basic qualifications someone should have seeking the office of United States Senator is sensitivity to the needs of all the people in this state and this country. It's an understanding of the basic precepts that have given the greatness and the vitality to this nation, both in terms of its economy at home, both in terms of developing the individual initiatives and ability of our people, which has been a very unique genius here in this country, and both in terms of what our role must, can, and should be, in terms of keeping world peace, in terms of our relationships with those foreign countries, with allies, and those who are not friendly. I think that we have gone astray. I think that it's important that we have people who don't dictate to local governments, don't dictate to working people, but rather that we have legislators who are responsive to their legitimate needs and who are tuned into them. I think Mayor Ed Koch maybe said it best a short time ago, if I might be allowed to paraphrase. He said, you know, when I was in Congress, I made a lot of bad votes. I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't recognize or understand the impact that some of that legislation had in terms of the local governments and the people. And I think that one of the great shortcomings that we have today, and let me borrow a direct quote, is that we have Senator Javits tried it. So how will he, D'Amato, get along with 100 other senators? Those other 100 other senators are also prima donnas. What we've had today and what we're building today is a group, prima donnas, call them what you will, who are isolated, who are cut off from people. One of the great strengths that I have is that I am, and have been, chief elected official of a community of 800,000 people. I've seen and dealt with those laws that have been made by people who have little understanding with respect to the impact that they have on working people, our state, and our nation.
Both of you have very supportive minds. Open up some conflict. I wonder, Mr. Mile, you're on the right to life line. They're so sore the Republican ticket, which we think they wouldn't endorse. Senator, of course, you're on the liberal line, which seems to be his platform, and his standards seem to be a bit different than the Republican platform. Suppose you're so sure, do you see any problem?
No, I haven't.
Running as a Republican and right to life?
No. I am unequivocally support Ronald Reagan, regardless of my position on the two line. I anticipate being in the Republican line. If I'm not, I still will support Ronald Reagan wholeheartedly in the forthcoming election. I think we so desperately need a change that the Carter programs, that economically have been so disastrous that we need a total change, to shake out. I think militarily that we're prepared.
Well,
I have no difficulty, Mickey, supporting Ronald Reagan in spite of the fact of the right to life party.
You're running here,
yes.
And running you. You don't see any problem.
No, I'm making my. I've indicated to the Right to Life people that I am definitely supporting Ronald Reagan. That was my commitment prior to my seeking their endorsement. My commitment at the present time. They know where I stand. And they have to take me with that condition. I will run an active and aggressive campaign, but I intend to campaign for Ronald Reagan.
Senator, what about you and the Liberals? They seem to be not quite in the same track as the Republicans.
I have run on the Liberal Party ticket before on two occasions, and nobody has ever found it possible to accuse me of backtracking on what I stood for because of the Liberal Party, and I won't now. But I'd like to make it clear that as a senator from New York, I don't unequivocally support anybody as President of the United States. I'll vote against the President, or I'll vote for the President, depending upon what I consider to be best for my country. For example, I strongly oppose the President on shipping arms to Saudi Arabia, which I thoroughly disagree with. On the other hand, I strongly supported the President on the Panama Canal treaties, being convinced that we face rebellion and guerrilla warfare in Central and South America in the event that we didn't act to finalize the question of ownership of that canal, and I believe it's kept the peace of the Americans. So I'm not afraid of facing the fact that in one season or another, I have voted with or against the president.
Well, is a senator a freelancer, or does he have a responsibility to stick with a party position?
He has a responsibility when it comes to organizing the Senate. He has a response, and I do that. I've done it constantly. He has a responsibility when it comes to what's called a party line vote, whether to adjourn or not to adjourn, or some other privilege of the leadership. Other than that, in the American system, the Congress is run not by parties, but by coalition. The Democrats themselves can't carry any measure, though they have 59 to our 41 in the Senate. And we certainly can't. As a matter of fact, we, about 4 years ago, under my chairmanship as the of the Economic Subcommittee of the Senate Republican Conference, all the Republican senators, authored this program to cut taxes in order to bring about the modernization of American business. And in 78, we voted on it. And I was its main pillar of support with Senator Danforth of Missouri. And we failed. Now it's come to pass. I only give that as an illustration of why independence in the Senate is so essential.
In terms of point of clarification, just in terms of what we're saying, the Lincoln's question, I believe, was addressed to campaigning and running for office. I've indicated that whether I win or lose the Republican nomination, I'm going to be campaigning for Ronald Reagan. I think that in terms of a proper and adequate response, we're not talking about how we voted in the legislative session or how we perceive ourselves as congressmen, but rather whether or not Senator Javits is ready to make that same unequivocal support that if he loses the Republican primary and he's on the liberal line, will he be supporting and campaigning for Ronald Reagan? That's the question.
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Yeah, sure. I care to rebut it entirely. I have said that I support Ronald Reagan. I supported him with my vote in the convention, which is a pretty important point. I do support him, and I will support him as the Republican nominee of my party.